ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
That sound is relative silence, which is what we got in the last 24 hours as Cricket Australia parked their BBL sale plans. There was a written statement and a small media briefing, but no press conference to explain the situation. So where do we stand on the much-heralded biggest decision in Australian cricket history? Is it over? Or are we just waiting for the guy holding four beers to move out of the batter's eye line and play to continue? New South Wales got off to a winning start in the women's state of origin, plus a serious health scare for the already under the pump Storm coach, Craig Bellamy. I'm Declan Byrne. This is ABC Sport Daily. The debate raged, the deadlines came and went, and in the end, Cricket Australia haven't convinced the states to privatise the BBL. Pete Lawler has been covering it extensively for Cricket et al., including breaking the news yesterday that Queensland, who was undecided, eventually settled in the no camp. Pete, was Queensland's decision the point at which CA knew it had to concede they just couldn't push on?
Yeah, that's it. Queensland was the swing state in this one to some degree. We came to understand yesterday in talking with Todd Greenberg that New South Wales were hard against this proposal. Queensland, after asking for more time, decided that they were against the proposal. And South Australia had said essentially that they were against the proposal too, but were happy for some teams to privatise if they wanted under certain conditions. So essentially, you've ended up with a situation where Australian cricket is split right down the middle. It's like Solomon's sword to the baby that was argued over in the Old Testament.
We've got political, we've got biblical. It was a big discussion. can you sum up what do you think the biggest sticking point was, though, for those three states and effectively four Big Bash teams that voted against?
Yeah, look, this has been said by people on both sides of the debate, that this is the biggest decision that Australian cricket has ever had to make.
This will be, in my view, the biggest strategic decision Australian cricket makes in a generation. And so we have to understand the impacts if we do it, but we equally have to understand the impacts if we don't do it.
That's a pretty solid claim, because essentially you're selling part of the family jewels. You are giving up for the first time in history part of Australian cricket to private enterprise so that money will be going out the door. I mean, all the focus is on the money that will be coming in the door, and fair enough too, because with private investment comes private capital and they're willing to pay a lot of money for sports teams at this time. But inherent in that is the unknown. Who's coming in? I mean, they're only essentially they're selling 49% of six of the franchises and 100% of the other two, or that's the proposal. If you have the sort of carpetbaggers of private capital coming in and start throwing their weight around, and we see what happened in England with this year's The 100, they put that on the market. A lot of Indian capital came in and they changed the names of the teams, the uniforms of the teams. That's the superficial side of it. But the bigger side of it is, are you then conceding some control of your cricket to outside commercial interests? And while CA will tell you that no, that they will retain control, inevitably there comes pressures. And the great concerns around this are that will these pressures lead to a situation where you say the only way to make the BBL really good and us to get return on our capital, us business people, is for all the Australian players to be available for every game in the BBL. That's what's happened in the 100. That's what happened in South Africa when they sold their league. The only way that can happen here, if the BBL sticks to its current sort of time slot, is to move the Sydney test. I mean, your New Year's test will move back to November. These are concerns that, you know, it's the great unknown what will happen. But at the moment, you own the farm yourself, you run the farm yourself, and some people are proposing there are other ways to raise the money that CA argue is necessary to keep the game in good shape.
There will be impacts on both those occasions, and some of that is a crystal ball of what we think the future might look like. But the main decision is, if we do it, it has to benefit the entire game, the entire sport, not just players. It has to benefit everybody.
It is the great unknown, but you're pretty plugged in. I want you to take a look up at the flags and tell me which way the wind is blowing, because Cricket Australia, yes, they said they hadn't reached consensus, but there was the word yet in there. Greenberg's reiterated he believes it's when, not if, with private investment in the Big Bash. So where do you think it goes from here? How much needs to change for the likes of New South Wales, Queensland and South Australia?
Perhaps not a lot needs to change for them. The CA have told that go and explore other options. So they will go and explore, you know, maybe selling two franchises or three franchises or six franchises. It'll move away from the model that they've proposed. I think that they were happy when Queensland said no to say, all right, let's pause this and let's revisit it down the track. But those who had voted in favour of privatisation are insisting that they keep exploring these options and try and find a way to bring some private capital into the Big Bash. So it's not over yet, but I doubt very much that it will be anywhere near the model that CA had hoped when they had hoped to take the whole thing to market. Now they'll be taking little bits of it to market.
The whole thing, especially recently, felt a bit like a tilt at political party leadership, you know, canvassing numbers, promising things to certain people, lots of conversations behind closed doors. And generally, no matter how those things play out, there's scars. Pete, what wounds in Australian cricket can you see that need some medical attention?
Yeah, it's a good point. Look, I believe that all parties had the absolute best interests of Australian cricket at heart when they made their decisions and ended up in opposite camps here. But if you're Cricket Victoria, the stick that got them over the line to be in favour of privatisation, when they initially weren't, was that they cannot afford the $6 million in savings that they've been told they'll have to find if there's no privatisation. So they're facing $6 million in cuts from their annual budget. They're going to look up at New South Wales, their sworn enemy, and say, this is all your fault. That was my initial fear. It's kind of played out a bit differently, I think. A lot of heat is now focused back towards the people who've been running this, and in particular Mike Baird, the chair of Cricket Australia. New South Wales has nominated him to be on Cricket Australia's board, and they now find themselves in a diametrically opposed positions. And I don't think there's much love lost between New South Wales and Mike Baird at the moment. But also now add to that that Cricket Victoria, you know, one of the biggest states in Australian cricket, is probably annoyed at the way that this has played out as well. That will put more pressure on Mike Baird, whose term comes up later in this year. I think Todd Greenberg, who is his CEO and has run the process for him, is a little bit more Teflon in this environment.
If we've got an ability to bring significant amounts of capital into the game, how do we make sure cricket prospers for that? Not just immediately, but for the next generation.
But there's a lot of pressure on Mike Baird at the moment.
So you mentioned Mike Baird and Greenberg. Give me the overarching feeling you think today in those corner offices, the ones with the good views at Cricket Australia. How are they feeling?
They looked pretty somber yesterday when we did a phone hookup. Well, it was only with Todd, really, and it was pretty somber. I mean, they were waiting on Queensland. I think they believed that Queensland were going to come down with a yes, and basically they were going to say, beauty, we're having a wedding, but the groom got cold feet and they had to put away their wedding plans and announce that it was all off. So it's back to the drawing board. They failed in their first attempt to get this done. I don't think that they really saw themselves having a second attempt at it. So, yeah, pretty somber mood, I'd say.
All right. It's taken 12 months to get to this no. I wonder what lies ahead, Pete. We appreciate you shedding light on this BBL privatisation debate that has raged and will continue to.
It's the nerdiest bit of cricket, this stuff, honestly.
New South Wales have come from behind to triumph 11-6 in Game 1 of the Women's Origin Series in Newcastle last night with a Jessie Southwell field goal and Jess Serge's try on the bell to set up a huge next two games, both in Queensland. Emma Lawrence led the Channel 9 coverage, and Emma, the players were all commenting post-match that it was one of, if not the fastest game they'd been a part of. What did you make of the opener?
Well, thank you for having me. It was so great to be there. I think it was such an incredible game, particularly given I think there was a little bit of noise beforehand around the fact that this Origin match comes before the NRLW season. So the girls hadn't even played trial matches. So many were worried about the quality and the standard. And maybe early on, a little bit more drop ball than they both would have liked, but that was a typical Origin match. It was so physical. They were belting each other out there. It was a proper grind, went down to the wire, which no one can complain about. I don't think anyone wants a blowout in an Origin match.
Fix all the score. A long ball left Southwell from 20 metres out. Strikes it, likes it, kicks the field goal. And with 7 minutes to go, for the first time tonight, the Blues are in front.
A perfect way to start. And I mean, for New South Wales as well, they hadn't actually won an Origin match at Newcastle yet, despite it's a home game for them. So there were over 20,000 fans there, which was awesome. And I think they'll only get better. The quality will get better in another couple of weeks. Yeah, look, really looking forward to game two.
And we had Millie Elliott on this week. What a performance from her, coming back 7.5 months after having a baby to play at the highest level. Were you astounded at just how much she showed up, or really not surprised at all?
Look, on one hand, I was kind of in my sort of interviews and crosses all week, I was saying, oh, it's unbelievable. But then I kind of had to stop and think, well, it's not, because Millie Elliott, anyone that knows her knows that she's genuinely a machine. She is so determined, so committed. She's so physically fit. It shouldn't actually come as a surprise to anyone that she got back to this level. I mean, it's wild for us mere mortals, you know. I think for me, I mean, after the birth of my daughter, I came back to work after 3.5 months, right, to sit on a couch in front of a camera, talk some footy. I didn't have to get my body physically ready. Like, that is a whole nother level, to get your body physically fit and then to go out there and get smashed. You're not an outside back. She's playing in the middle of the field. We honestly should be bowing down before Millie. It's such an incredible achievement. And she played so well. She copped a knock and she kept going. Like, she's as tough as they come and the best person you'll ever meet.
Ball played. They work into the right side. Millie Elliott up the middle.
Sets up a huge series. As I said, Queensland have two home games. They'll have a little bit to tweak, but a ripping first match. The other big news in the rugby league world that dropped last night, about an hour before Origin kickoff, surrounded the health of Melbourne Storm coach Craig Bellamy. The club released a statement saying Bellamy has been diagnosed with a form of neurodegenerative disorder, which is really scary given that they are generally incurable. It's that gradual decline and damage to your brain and nervous system. How did you react, Emma, when you heard that news?
Honestly, I was just really sad to hear it. And everybody in the game loves Craig Bellamy, and without knowing too many details around the condition and how severe it is, I guess all that I or anyone in the game could say is that we wish Craig Bellamy all the very best. I think footy's one thing, but your health and your life, we know how much more important that is. So I genuinely hope that he's doing okay. We all send our best wishes. And in terms of the rest of his coaching and footy career, I mean, time will only tell. It's really too early to speculate on any of that. But there's certain coaches in the game that have relationships with players that it can go beyond professional. Like, they genuinely care for each other. And I know that everyone has that relationship with Craig. So without being part of the inner sanctum, I have no doubt that there would be the team wanting to, I mean, everyone wants to win, obviously, out there on the footy field, but for wanting to do it for Craig as well, I would imagine it adds another dimension to tonight's match. Not that you need any more incentive when you've lost six in a row, which is, we haven't seen other Storm do for such a long time. I honestly wouldn't write them off just yet. I know a lot of people are saying they won't play finals. I think it's too early to say that for the Storm. So, you know what? I'm going to go a bit bold and tip an upset. I'm going to tip the Melbourne Storm.
There you go. Emma Lawrence, thank you for wrapping up Origin and looking ahead to tonight and the rest of the round. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Soundbites. Collingwood and Hawthorn played out the first draw of the AFL season last night. And with the debate raging about whether the AFL should have extra time, Collingwood coach Craig McRae, well, he kept it simple.
But fundamentally, I said to the boys, yeah, we didn't win tonight, but we definitely didn't lose.
That's a draw. In surfing, the Margaret River Pro finished over the weekend, and 23-year-old Aussie George Pitta, in just his second year on tour, took out his maiden event. He was stoked and wasn't exactly lost for words. Swear words, specifically.
Felt like we were just pushing uphill. It's like, believe it, like, I'm frothing. Stoked. Let's go.
Congratulations, GP.
Cheers, Morno.
The passion is real and the media training is incoming. Never change, George. Continuing with the linguistics theme, Yannick Sinner was asked post-match in Spain at the Madrid Open how he deals with the language barrier.
Do you have any apps that help you?
Duolingo or the other one is also Babbel, no? So let's see.
Well, Bumble is a dating app.
No, it's
not. Or Babbel.
No, Babbel, Babbel. Anyway, it's not a dating app. I don't need a dating app.
I reckon his winning streak in tennis is better than his Duolingo streak. I'm Declan Byrne. This is ABC Sport Daily. Thanks to WSL and ATP Tennis for the extra audio used in this episode.